Coming up on today's show, D23 Expo event guide and floor map has been released. Rock and Roller Coaster turns 25. We have full details on the Disney Destiny, and we are going to go through the history of a little thing called FastPass. That is coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 461. Each day we creep a little bit closer to 500, right?
Or close to it. Crawling, creeping towards it.
Yeah. I predict we'll hit number 500 somewhere around June.
We got to do something big for that.
Yeah. 500 completely memorable episodes. I can remember every last one of them.
Completely.
Do we even have access? Is number one still out there? I think it is. We might cringe at number one. I do know that it all began with D23, which is what is coming up. What is upon us, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you're listening to this, by the time you're able to listen to this, I'm sure, D23 will be underway, will it not? Oh, wait. No, not yet. It'll be the week after.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the week. This week will be it, yeah.
Oh, I was right the first time. Okay. I'm getting my days mixed up.
But it'll be after. So probably the next episode we do will be a rushed D23 announcement.
Yes, probably.
Live.
Oh. I'm having a lot of way. Do it live. Anyway, I'm your host for this week. My name is John. And yes, that person that you've been hearing speak, you should already know. If you've listened to the show at all, you should know.
460 times.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is Adam.
What's up?
But anyway, speaking of D23, there is a map that has been released. Let's take a quick look.
Riveting.
Riveting.
There's an Emporium.
So the first floor has pretty much everything that you could possibly imagine. Walt Disney Company store, fan lounge, spotlight stage, all that. Imagineering, Behind the Dreams. They have an ESPN one. I don't know why they have that. Do they have an NBA one if they have an ESPN one?
Yeah, who knows?
I just figured with Bob Iger being there, that the NBA would be represented. They're probably heavily represented at the ESPN booth or whatever. Avatar Pavilion. They have one of those.
I almost went to D23 this year, but it's the, you know, school just started and all that. It just logistically didn't work out.
Didn't make sense.
I would love to go, but I would probably spend way too much money at the, there's so many rare things you can get and exclusive things you can get that it would be hard to avoid some of it, but. Like, there's a big pin store, there's some merch you can't get anywhere else. The floor map, just looking at it, gosh, I would spend all day just going from little area to area looking at stuff, but...
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Right.
It's in the cards, eventually.
So there are virtual queues that have been announced for the event. Mm-hmm. So just kind of looking what that's like. They have the shopping virtual queues.
Well,
of course must see. What is it? The queues will be available at the D23 Marketplace, the Disney Studio Store Hollywood, Friday and Saturday only. Mickey's of Glendale, Friday only. Mickey's of Glendale Pin Store, the Walt Disney Company Store, and the Walt Disney Company Pin Store. Virtual queue will be required to shop at these locations starting when the event opens at 9 a.m. each day. Virtual queue opportunities will be available at 4 a.m., and of course, they have to have a second drop at 1 p.m. each day.
Yeah,
sounds very familiar.
Or the D23 app. Yeah,
that's gonna come into play a little later when we talk about FastPass. Right? Fans may sign up for a boarding group for themselves. They still call it a boarding group, or is someone making fun of this article because they put it in parentheses a boarding group?
Right. It's basically you're not technically
boarding anything.
Right.
Yeah, but you're not boarding anything.
You're boarding the stores that you're trying to get in.
Yes.
Right. Get in. Yeah.
Traditional queuing is available at locations not utilizing virtual queue. I think they could take a queue, total pun intended, from this and not make every attraction in the parks virtual. I mean, something similar, but anyway, of some sort of weight. But that's just
me. Yeah, well, I don't know. It gets really crowded at D23, though.
Yeah. But in any case, that's just kind of the touching on that, because we really kind of speculated last week about what the big announcements might be. I'm still waiting. I really hope that something good comes out of the tease of the word horizon, but we'll see.
Yeah.
By the time our next episode, we'll definitely know what it was, right? By the time it's out. So.
Right.
Let's go move and shift gears. Rock and Roller Coaster, 25th anniversary just occurred. That was on July 30th, I believe, was the date.
29th or 30th, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was the 30th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That plaque is down now. I can't remember. Oh, it was 29th. You're right. It was dedicated on the 29th is when it was dedicated. Well, so open to the public the next day so you can choose your date.
Yeah, it could be either one.
No one actually wrote it until the 30th unless your name was Aerosmith and some other people type close to it. So,
got it.
You know, over the last few years, it was questionable as whether or not it would have made it to 25 because they were been rumored Aerosmith being removed from it numerous times.
Yeah. Every year that rumor comes around anyway, yeah. So it'll happen eventually.
One thing I can say about this, and I know we've mentioned it before, but still to me this day, and a lot of people say this, smoothest launch coaster still to this day, I think. Tron's pretty smooth, but I don't say
Tron's good.
As quick as Aerosmith is, like the 0 to 58 miles an hour technically, mm-hmm. I think it is somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe though it says 0 to 60, and I forgot how many seconds it is now. That's what the tagline used to be.
Right.
How smooth that launch was, especially for the time frame. We're talking 25 years ago, you know, 1999. And the fact that it's also a Vekoma, I think maybe surprised a few people. Disney and Vekoma have like this working relationship. I think they still do to this day, don't they? Don't they do some of their other stuff? But anyway.
Yeah.
Anything to say about Rock and Roller Coaster? Any memories? Remember your first time doing it?
Yeah, I do remember. God, it had to have been 01 was probably the first time.
Yeah, the September 11th trip.
Yeah, I think that was basically. It. Yeah, it's. I know it uses the pulley. I can't remember exactly what that type of launch is called, but I think Tron uses the like magnetic launch. Again, I'm butchering what these are called.
I don't think Tron's launch is quite as quick, though. I feel like it feels like it just kind of like dies off pretty quickly. That's just
I think it goes from 0 to 59, actually.
Oh, is that what... Are you just saying that?
I'm not kidding. I think it goes faster than...
It's about the same. It doesn't feel as fast to me for some reason. I don't know.
It's faster than Rock and Roller Coaster.
Well, I think somehow Rock and Roller Coaster manages to last longer.
Yeah, that's funny. It is. It is. What is the difference in...
I don't know the difference in the time, but...
A few seconds. I mean, it's maybe 20 seconds longer or something.
Yeah. Well, once upon a time, Rock and Roller Coaster would be longer if you count until you get off the ride because of right there at the end with the exit. But you would always pause for a little bit longer than you would, say, at Tron.
Yeah.
Especially since Tron splits off into two, it makes it a lot easier to unload, right?
So, that's true. It's much faster at that. But
yeah, much quicker unload. Anyway.
Welcome back, losers.
That's what my wife thought it said.
It does sound like that.
For the first thing, she's like, welcome back, users. And she was like, she said, welcome back, losers.
It does kind of sound
anyway,
like that.
Well, you might can pick that up in the video I posted, actually, of us on our first ride.
I was looking really quick to see, it's a minute 22 seconds.
For which one?
Rock and Roller Coaster. Hey. Whereas Tron is about 58 seconds. Somewhere in the
neighborhood of 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, 20 to 25 seconds longer, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But they're both great. I mean, I don't know.
I think maybe Disney has balked at changing this one a couple of times based on how well the one in Disneyland Paris. What's the park called? Yeah, the Studios Park was received when they changed it to Iron Man. It wasn't as received well as they had hoped.
Right. Flight Force. Whatever.
Yeah. Perhaps. I'm sure it's fine, but whenever you're replacing a original attraction, you really got to bring it, right? So rarely does it happen.
They couldn't put Flight Force in Orlando anyway because the deal with Universal, right?
That should be reaching its peak soon, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. What is Universal going to do about Spider-Man or Hulk or any other? They're not going to just tear them down.
No, but I think that they have an opportunity to rethink when they have the third park. I guess technically it's fourth if you count a water park, but they don't count that. They don't count them at Disney. Why should we count them at Universal? Even though Volcano Bay is kind of like a hybrid. I mean, it's essentially a water park. We'll say third gate.
It is a water park.
Universal. With the attention focused on that, it's quite possible that they may have an opportunity to make some changes there in the near future. I don't know. Tell you what, we're talking about Rock and Roller Coaster being 25 years old, but if you go over there on the Universal side, that Spider-Man ride was way ahead of its time because that's the same year it opened.
Right.
And it's hard to believe how well, how far ahead of its time that is, because that's like, that's the type of ride that Disney's building now. Well, if you think about it, with the Ratatouille or Rise of the Resistance, I mean, obviously those are at a different level, but still, I mean, that type of ride, it's just hard to believe that type of ride is 25 years old, right?
Yeah. So and they'll probably never close it because they don't want Disney to be able to use Spider-Man.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think that there was something about the contract that it was only, that was only in play for so many years, and I forgot how many years it was. It's got to be nearing the end of it. We'll have to go back and revisit that.
I don't think they can change it, but if they keep it open, I don't think Disney can do anything.
Right. If they make any changes to it, they can't, like, redo the same thing. So they have to keep it as is if they plan on keeping Marvel there. So,
right.
Although they did make improvements to Hulk, so I don't guess that counts. They can't make any, like, major changes, I guess. Like, they just made structural changes to Hulk, for instance, that ride, so.
Right, yeah, they can do stuff like that, but not update it with new.
Improvements weren't quite the same thing.
Yeah. And obviously they can't use Disney's versions of the characters, but Disney can't use theirs either, so.
Well, you know, with Spider-Man, they still have Sony to consider, because Sony still has the rights, don't they? That's still a thing.
Yeah, right, it is, you know. It's tied up in a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But anyway, moving along so we can get to our probably bigger subject, given the recent changes to Disney's FastPass, FastPass Plus, Genie Plus, Lightning Lane, whatever you want to refer to it now as. I guess it's now officially Lightning Lane Multipass and Lightning Lane Single Pass. But before we get into that, this week we had the news, or they brought the
announcement.
Yeah, of the Disney Destiny, which is the next cruise ship to
set
launch.
Sail.
Yeah, it'll set sail soon.
November 2025, I believe, right?
Yeah, this one was weird because the Destiny, it kind of is a return similar to their abstract concepts that they had, but they kind of changed it with the Treasure. Because the Treasure sets sail this December, right?
Yes.
And then the Destiny is going to be basically the following holiday season in November, because they got November 2025 as the inaugural sailings, which start this September, the inaugural sailings bookings do. Just to cover a little bit of what they're putting on this ship, they have a new heroes and villains themed, just what this is based on. Yeah,
which I think is kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's almost like a testing ground for the fifth gate, maybe.
Possibly.
Is this going to be a good idea to go forward with this concept, right, of including villains?
Heroes and villains. Yeah. Might be an interesting land. Heroes
and
villains.
It could be. So they have characters like Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Grand Hall is going to look very similar to the other two with a few changes, right? The latest ships.
Yeah.
Remind you a little bit of, say, The Wish, and looks like the soon-to-be Treasure, right?
Yeah, very similar.
So it's welcoming you to a world of dualities, heroes and villains, and adventure and relaxation, so on and so forth, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The statue is going to be T'Challa? Is that how you say it? From Black Panther, King of Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
They're going in a different direction with a statue this time. And I think this is the first one, from what I can tell, that's not going to be completely like bronzed or whatever the look was, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a little different.
Right. It looks cool, though. Black Panther with a panther next to him. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And of course, traditionally so far on the stern, they've had characters like Dumbo and Rapunzel and Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is going to have Spider-Man on the stern.
Nice.
So apparently Spider-Man likes it on the stern.
Of the boat, yeah.
Yes, of the boat. And it has a couple of the, robotic spiders also back there.
Yeah.
So, and he's got him, like, shooting his web onto one of them. So
are they going to have, like, a web slingers type thing for the kids club or something.
Well, let's give the spider bots what these are, by the way. I must admit, I'm not. It's hard for me to get the details on the Marvel stuff just because I have not been. It's like there's so much of it. It's hard for me to stay on top of it, for one thing.
Yeah, it's a full time job.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, it's not the part that I'm most interested in when it comes to the Disney products. So,
fair enough.
But they're going to have the Disney Tower Suite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, in this particular article I'm reading, it says Tony Stark would approve.
Right.
Iron Man's legacy is basically being displayed here.
Yeah, it's got an Iron Man look to it.
Mm-hmm.
The pattern in the carpet and everything.
Yeah, kind of in Tony's style, right?
Yeah. If only I had, you know, 50 grand to drop on a cruise for this suite.
So it's going to feature two things from The Wish and the Treasure, which is Worlds of Marvel and Marvel Superhero Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are coming from The Wish and the Treasure. Those are going to be consistent, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, which is cool.
Yep. Worlds of Marvel will host for you an Out of This World celebration starring the lively duo of Rocket and Groot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's different, though, right? From what I gathered.
That looks like a fun dining experience.
So then the Oceaneers Club is going to feature the Disney Adventures. So the Superhero Academy, just like the... I'm sure they'll make some touches there in comparison to the, mm-hmm. the Wish and the Treasure. Make a few other little small changes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got full-on details now regarding the ship. And as I said, the bookings will go on pre-sale this September.
Mm-hmm.
And it is for the November 2025 is the beginning, like the inaugural. And I assure you, much if it's anything like the Wish or the Treasure, they will be astronomical priced for that inaugural sailing.
Yeah, always. Always.
Yes. Anyway, so the Disney Cruise Line Castaway Club members can book a Disney Destiny cruise as early as September the 6th of this year, and bookings open to the general public on September the 12th.
Mm.
Complete details about it can be found at the Disney Parks blog and DisneyCruise.com. So the one-of-a-kind heroes and villains design that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Iconic songs will be featured from Moments of the Lion King, a first-of-its-kind dining experience celebrating the renowned Walt Disney Animation Studios films. As families dine, a colorful ensemble of live musicians and storytellers will take the stage and present a musical journey through the award-winning soundtrack.
Mm, cool.
Of course, we already talked about World of Marvel. It will have 1923 like it does in the others.
Yeah, that's cool.
The artwork of 1923 here, though, will showcase the tales of heroes and villains in Hercules, Sleeping Beauty, Big Hero 6, Wreck-It Ralph, and more.
Yeah. I was most excited about DeVille's Piano Lounge, talking about the adults-only area, I think. But
that would be cool, having a villains-themed adult lounge, basically.
Yeah. Then there's Cask and Cannon Pirates Pub. Sounds interesting. And the Haunted Mansion Parlor. So isn't that basically the same one that's on the Treasure?
Yes, I do believe it will be. I'm sure it will be
essentially
similar.
A duplicate. Or, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be very close to the same. Think, well, of course, you haven't done it, but think some of the ones that are the same on the Dream and the Fantasy.
Yeah.
There will probably be some small changes to the two. So
either way, I think it's good to have more than one chance of getting to experience this, because I definitely want to visit the Haunted Mansion Parlor regardless of what ship I'm on. So
yes, we're going to have to definitely sometime in the future get on board either the Treasure or the Destiny.
Yeah,
since they both have it, one of the two.
Piano Lounge looks cool, though. DeVille's Piano Lounge looks kind of neat.
Yes. Cask and Cannon, the one for is the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Said it will be an eclectic yet cozy pub furnished with acquired treasures. Visiting Buccaneers will cheer and jeer during live televised sporting events.
Okay. So it's a sports bar?
I guess so. As they indulge in an extensive menu of rare specialty and vintage rums and a selection of bootlegged brews.
Makes
developed
sense.
Specially for the venue. So that could be interesting.
Makes you wonder if some of that, obviously, at Magic Kingdom, I don't think it would be a sports bar, but the Pirate Lounge that they're going to build, I wonder if there's going to be some inspiration between the two. that would be interesting. The only thing I don't like is the rum-heavy menu. Trader Sam's kind of has that already. And so it makes you wonder, like, with the Magic Kingdom in particular, like, you would think because it's pirate-themed, it would be rum-heavy as well. So, like, I don't know. It's a lot of rum, in other words.
So, this, I see something here. It says it's called Feast of Fun Under the Sun. Guests are destined to ride, fly, chase the wind, and touch the sky on the stunning upper decks of the Disney Destiny. I guess that was a call to Brave, interestingly enough. I don't know. Is there something Brave-related on here that I missed?
I know it's part of it. You know, the hero side is Brave, right?
Or yeah, Brave on it.
Hercules and Brave, I think. I don't
okay.
remember.
I'm glad that Brave is featured because that was always one of my one of my favorites of that era when that came about.
Yeah.
I loved the music in particular from that. I must have some, like, Scottish heritage somewhere because I like that style of music. Okay. I must have some Scottish in my blood somewhere.
23andMe and find out.
Yeah, I guess. So the Destiny will debut a quirky Aquamouse storyline filled with Disney animation villains.
So
sing a silly song. Yeah, the new show will exemplify the new signature silliness of Mickey Mouse animated shorts. So basically they're going to encounter, I know they're going to go to Villain Mountain, right, in this?
And yeah, for the...
To encounter Chernabog,
yeah.
Right? That's shown right there. And there were some other villains I thought that I saw, but I don't see the names listed now.
That was the only concept art I saw of it.
And they have some of the familiar names like Edge and Vibe for the teen clubs, which I'm sure they'll have those, you know, a little bit different theming to those as they would different on every ship, right? So, yeah, something to look forward to. I'm sure as usual, they're going to have bigger rooms. We have the hero-style rooms, right? Hero suites.
Yeah.
Incredi-suites.
The rooms look very nice, I will say. They look really good.
Yeah. Then, of course, the tower suite we already mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, an interesting one to do. I'll be excited to see what the first sailing looks like when it comes about, because I doubt I'll be on it.
Yeah.
Not very likely I'll be on it, so I'll be looking for...
The itineraries, I'm curious about whether or not I'll end up on this one or not, but... Yeah.
I haven't finalized my plans, but the plan as of right now is still to do the Wish in October, by the way.
Okay. That'll be good to hear about.
We intended on doing another cruise for our 10th anniversary, which is technically last year, but it just, the timing as far as what was going on wasn't going to work out. So I think we're going to do it this year for the 11 year.
Okay.
Instead, so it's like a 1 year delay on doing our, because we went on a land and sea cruise for our honeymoon initially. So.
Yeah.
So the 10-year made sense that we would do something similar. So
makes sense.
Only this time the kids are coming along, so that's a little different. But
that's what happened.
Yeah. So that's still the plan. So hopefully we'll be looking forward to telling you a little more about that.
Yeah.
As it stands right now, like I said, I haven't put anything solid, but the plan is to arrive a little earlier, be able to do at least Tiana's and the new Country Bears.
Yep.
I would kind of like to work Epcot in because I have yet to do Journey of Water as well. And of course, you know, Guardians is like one of the best rides on property. So you got to try to get it in, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, things like that. And of course, it's Epcot. I mean, Epcot's Epcot. Epcot is me. Like
you could always bookend your trip, do one on the front and one on the back of your cruise.
Yeah, I've considered that because, you know, the cruise ships arrive.
Yeah, like 8 a.m. you're out
so early.
Ship, so. It's like you might as well.
You're like 8 a.m. and you're only an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
So you might could spend some time at one of the parks.
It's kind of on the way back, I mean, in a way.
There you go. So, yes, I have considered it. And I should, on my Disney Visa, I mean, by that time, I should have like 500 reward points. So I should be able to spend that rather well. So,
yeah, it'll go quickly, though.
Yes, it 500. Does. 500 doesn't last very long, but hey, it's 500 I could have spent in cash.
Right. That's right? True.
I think that kind of wraps up. Was there any other news stories before we get into FastPass?
I think we should
move on to FastPass and give it its due time frame. So I was kind of doing a little bit of research, trying to go back and get a little bit of bearings on the origins of Disney FastPass, right?
Right.
Because FastPass, I guess, has been a part of the system for near 25 years now. That's another thing. Another anniversary, because it was out around the same time.
Speaking of Rock and Roller Coaster, that was one of the ones you could get at Fast Pass 4, wasn't it?
It was,
in the early days.
One of the things that was kind of cool about the original paper Fast Pass, if you remember, like, they started having them be, like, unique. Like, they had their own design for each attraction, right? Which was kind of cool.
Because I still have a couple of them that I never used from who knows what year, 2009 probably.
It's not too long ago, I came across some that there, I think, and there was at least one that was Soarin', I think.
I had a Soarin'. I had a Soarin' as well. I think I may have, I was another ride. Well, there's one or two at Disneyland I have, too.
You gotta remember, back there in that time period of the paper ones, you really only used it for the rides that were going to have really long lines.
Right.
That's about the only time you used it, right?
I think I have a Big Thunder somewhere. Actually,
they,
if I remember correctly.
I don't know that I've ever gotten one for Thunder. Paper, anyway. I very rarely did the paper ones.
Yeah, it had like brownish red lettering on Big Thunder. I remember that part of it. So,
for some reason, in my mind, I can only think of maybe utilizing it at Epcot. I don't know why. I know good and well I've had to have utilized it otherwise. Maybe Tower and Rock.
Test Track, right? I mean...
Yeah, Test Track I've done before. I think Test Track was the very first one I ever used. Like, we did like a back and forth between Test Track and Soarin'.
Yeah.
And this was in 2000, had to have been.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't out when we visited in the spring of 99, like May of 99. June of 99. They weren't utilizing them just yet.
I remember going... I remember getting Space Mountain before. I'm trying to remember, like, where the kiosks were for... I think...
Well, Test Tracks was right there, like, if you're, like, you're heading into the canopy. They were to the kind of top right over there, almost like you're going back towards the...
gift shop?
Yeah, in that area.
Okay.
That's where they were initially. Because they tried to keep them away from the regular entrance, right? Somewhat. Right.
Yeah, I feel like Big Thunder's was where that popcorn stand is now, isn't it?
Might have been.
It was off to the side a little.
I can't remember specifically.
Weird.
Wasn't like Splash Mountain's over there almost like where you exit, if I remember right, in that general area?
It seems like I remember like where the bathrooms are, kind of.
Yeah, maybe almost, in that general area.
Maybe not quite that far in.
Because they had the most space.
Yeah.
I remember... Okay, so the longest line I remember experiencing with this was actually in Disneyland. So what I did was we rope dropped California Adventure, right? This was
to Radiator Springs Racers.
This was the month that Radiator Springs Racers opened.
Right? Oh, right. Makes
sense. Didn't even plan it this way, though, but this was the month that it opened. So it had only been open a couple of weeks at this point because we were there in like July, like the 25th, 26th, somewhere in that range, right? That last week of July, kind of where we are. We're just on the precipice. Actually, we're just into August as we speak, right?
Uh-huh.
So the strategy I used, which I've actually used in Disney a couple of times with the newer ones, you had this super long line. It was to a totally different place. And the longer line was to get to the FastPass kiosk, which kind of makes no sense when you think about it, because your whole purpose of getting a fast pass is so you don't have to wait in line, but yet you're having to wait in line to get the fast pass.
Right.
I mean, people would do this, right?
I remember that,
So like I walked past this super long line for fast pass and probably waited 20 minutes in the initial standby line for Radiator Springs Racer.
Mm.
I mean...
Right.
It was, don't get me wrong, the line got super long later in the day, but this was like right at rope drop. More people lined up for the fast pass than went to the regular queue.
Right, because they were planning to come later and do something.
I guess.
But
weren't they wasting time waiting to get the fast pass? I guess they figured the fast pass line would move faster. Maybe it did. I don't know how long they ended up waiting there. I know it was super long.
Yeah.
And all the way to the entrance just about. The park, that is. So
I didn't wait that long, but I remember rushing over to, which I think it was near Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, if I remember correctly, was where the Radiator Springs Racers distribution was for the tickets. I don't remember waiting that long, but I remember rushing over to get the Fast Pass for that. And That was the last time I probably ever did a paper fast pass that I can think of.
It might have been. See?
That may have been the last one I've ever gotten.
Well, anyway, see, I didn't utilize the paper ones that much was the point, right?
Yeah. I don't remember rushing so much to get paper ones. Yeah.
Right. The system was kind of born with the paper ones.
Right. Yeah.
And from my understanding, it became popular in that time period, right?
Right. People, to the point
people
where
utilizing
people,
this.
I think one of the main reasons they changed it is because people would rope drop, rush over and try to overwhelm the FastPass kiosks to and get.
I remember one time, this is when I was going solo, right? So this was during the time period when Toy Story Mania was relatively new, right?
Yeah, and it was very, very popular for a long time.
What I did, I was there at Rope Drop. I didn't like rush over there or anything, so I walked at like a normal pace, right?
Yeah.
And so I noticed by the time I get to where they had the FastPass kiosk, which to theirs was kind of like to the right of the front entrance, right? They had like a section. They had several of them that were themed that way. And the return time was already like 3 p.m. or something like that when I walked by it.
Yeah.
To go to the regular queue line. Now, in this particular instance, the regular queue line was still relatively long.
Mm.
But I was by myself. It was first thing in the morning. I really didn't care. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't care how long it waited. It took, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that bad with it being relatively, you know, early in the morning. But again, I didn't like try to run over there or rush or anything. I was just there early, you know. It ain't like it's not like it was with a challenge or anything where you try to like run people over to get to the front of it. But not that anybody would ever do that.
I was trying to recall, did they allow you to get more than one at the same time, or did you have to use one before you could get another one?
See, I was trying to think back on this, too, and I was trying to find some info on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, how that worked. Because I remember there was, like, a time frame you had to wait, because I know when we first used it, that time with the test track and the Soren one, like, we already had one for one of them, and we tried to run over there and get the other one. They're like, no, you can't get one until... I can't remember how it worked, though. Like, sorry, you already got one. You have to wait.
Yeah, I think on the ticket it told you...
Yeah, how long you had to wait?
You had to wait
another one.
A certain amount of time before you get another one, and then, something like that.
But you honestly didn't have to utilize it that much in that time frame, that time period either, if you think about it. Only the more popular attractions. Like, you didn't need it for everything.
No, and I think FastPass Plus, they discovered that you could create demand for other attractions by making it seem like you were getting a advantage by getting a light or fast pass, I should say, for a ride that didn't really need it. But it kind of created a false demand, in a sense, by spreading the crowds out to the less popular attractions, which is probably the main reason why they switched from the paper system.
Right. So the paper system, let's back up just a little bit. The paper system initiated in 1999, right?
All
I think it was mid to late 99.
Yeah, it had to be,
So, all the way to 2013, the last part of 2013, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think even early 2014, it was not completely phased out yet, I don't think.
But let's go all the way back to the beginning, 1971, when the park first opened. One of the main complaints they got was long waits, right?
Yeah, for e-tickets, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, and you even had to pay to do them back then. You could only do them like once, I guess, unless you paid more. Could you even do that then?
Good question. I don't know if you could get two ticket books or buy another ticket book to get more e-tickets. But
one thing about FastPass Plus, and I think this is one thing that people loved eventually, like at first people didn't know what they were doing with it, right? They just knew they could do it in advance. They could do it all in an app or do it all on the site. I think the very first ones I ever did was all on the site, actually. Even then, some of the more popular attractions were already gone by the time I did it, so.
Right.
Because it was my first experience with it. I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't really need this, but I'll use it. That's kind of how it was then, right?
Right. I remember
my thought.
There wasn't a lot that I wasn't like, I have to get Space Mountain or I have to get, these three. I was just like, okay, I'll get it. I'll get something if they're offering it to me.
Yeah, they had it sorted into tiers, and I think people initially liked the idea, and they kind of still do to a degree, of planning in advance.
Yeah.
But
too far in advance, I mean.
Yeah, right. Over time, I think most people would agree that
60 days
is way too long for a theme park schedule.
And as you've learned, if you go to Disney more than once, nothing that you plan goes exactly to plan. So 60 days out.
Right. It always worked out that way. Even 30 days was kind of long. So what they've adjusted to now with the, what is it, seven days is the earliest, right?
Seven is, if you're a resort guest.
Yeah.
Three if you're not.
Yeah, they still stick to that whole, we'll service both resort guests and non-resort guests, but we're just going to give the resort guests a slight advantage. You know?
Yeah.
They've still stuck to that formula.
Even still, though, it's length of stay. So by the time the 4 days advantage that a resort guest has, I guarantee you not much is going to be available at the 3 day mark.
Yeah.
So that made me think, too. I don't think we mentioned this last week, that this is probably another move because hotel attendance has been probably down at least this summer, to boost resort stays again, because it is a big advantage.
Maybe, but I don't know how well it'll work still, because, you know, once upon a time, the perk that we're getting had to do with hours.
Yeah, right. It wasn't just the ability to book more earlier.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you still get early entry, which is not great. I mean, 30 minutes.
But it's 30 minutes. That's what I'm saying. 30 minutes is not going to get you. It's going to get you into one ride early, essentially.
Yeah. It used to be like,
an hour
and a half early.
Yeah.
It was huge. Or hour late. It used to get the late.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Someone who knows what they're doing can make the most of that 30 minutes. But even then, it's very limited as to how much they can get done in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can only do so
much.
Somebody
knows what they're doing. So.
Yeah. With a family, it's hard enough to get there within the, or before the 30 minutes is up.
Yeah.
Because it's so early. But anyway.
Okay. So ultimately, let's go back again, like I said, to FastPass Plus. What ultimately ended up being the death of FastPass Plus was essentially COVID.
Yeah. COVID killed it. Yeah.
And pretty much,
I think, you know, again, Chapek taking over, it was like, hey, we're giving too much away. We're giving too much value to the people here. So we got to leak them in.
I'm going to say, COVID gave management a lot of time to think.
Right, exactly.
and reshuffle their priorities.
And I'm sure it's, how do we recover this money, you know, this lost revenue?
Some of it.
Some of it is.
But I mean, they already had this plan in place, though. It just accelerated it, I think.
Because I
think Genie Plus in place.
Well, Chapek had talked about it at D23 in 2019. Wait, was it 2019 or 18?
Yeah, 19 would have been it, because every 2 years, right? Yeah, had to have been 19.
Is that what it was? Okay. So he had talked about
it. It is every 2 years, right? Back then.
Yeah.
I remember, it had to have been 19.
I remember talking about it, but he didn't mention it in terms of skipping the line. It was more like, oh, it'll help you plan by telling you where to go, and, you know, it'll make it easier for you to plan your day. The Genie Plus waiting lane thing came later.
Essentially, what we're saying, they were talking about, we thought it was going to be like their answer to touring plans.
Yeah,
and stuff basically. Like that.
Yeah, giving guests that kind of information, which it sort of does, although I don't know any guests that actually uses that information. But
right. If you're going to do that, touring plans was still better.
Yeah, it turned out to be. I mean, it was almost a duplicate of it when it said, like, wait time historical data.
Here's the thing. The reason why they can't compete in that field is because they always have an agenda with they wanted you.
It's not unbiased.
What they wanted you to do, whereas touring plans is totally unbiased.
Yeah, it's just telling you this is what it is, versus Disney's like, this is what we'd like you to do, because there's nobody at the treehouse right now. That was, remember, the early, maybe you should go visit the Swiss Family Treehouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was AI, so maybe that was what it was thinking. I don't know.
Again, it was that was part of going back to FastPass Plus. It was putting a lightning lane on the teacups so that you could get more people to go to the teacups by having a lightning lane available to book for that attraction where it never had one before, never really needed one. But now all of a sudden, hey, I can book the teacups. Why don't we do that? You know, it's available, so I'll pull it and we'll go ride teacups. It spreads the crowd out to more attractions.
And FastPass Plus did this to a degree. It increased, in my opinion, and I think the stats show it too, that it increased the regular line wait. I don't think it did it quite as bad as Genie Plus did, though. I think Genie Plus was designed with the goal of making the wait times the same, like, no matter what time of year you went.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wanted to make the wait times consistent, whether it was crowded or not. That's what I think it was designed to do. And the new system kind of still does that as well, it seems.
So far.
I'm sure there's going to be some things that will change a little bit with it. We actually had Ryan that was just with us, you know, the brothers WDW. He just took a trip there and he gave us a little bit of insight of how it was going with how he used it, right?
Yeah.
He seemed to be able to enjoy it. Then again, I think the crowds are a little low too right now while he was going. But at the same time, he was able to utilize it quite well, it seemed like.
He also said it seems like, at least in the early stages, that Disney's not filling the Lightning Lane lines like they used to with Genie Plus.
Right, the inventory.
It's like there's less overall per ride Lightning Lanes available, I guess.
Yeah, because what he observed was that the Lightning Lane waits for like walk-ons, like there was none at all, right?
Right. Which, if you've done Genie Plus lately, I can't think of a single time I walked right onto anything with a Lightning Lane Genie Plus.
And FastPass Plus, it depended on the attraction. If it was the more popular attractions, you would at least have a small wait.
Yeah.
But FastPass Plus, back in the day, it was designed to cut your wait in half or less, right? That's the way it was designed. I never said it was designed to be a walk-on, but...
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can only think of a few during the Genie Plus era where we walked right on to an attraction. Usually, that was fairly decent, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, 15-minute wait on some. And then sometimes the Lightning Lane line was so far backed up. It's ridiculous.
My hope with this new system is that they pretty much bring it back to essentially what's a paid FastPass, which they kind of have. It's similar. It's like FastPass with some adjustments, really.
Yeah.
He did say he was still able to stack.
Yeah.
So if you want to do that.
Each system kind of has its own pros and cons, which I think once the new system works some of the kinks out, we'll be able to speak more on that. But
I'll tell you one thing for me personally. I know people like the doing things in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I think 7 days is still too long. I think what they should do... I think this should do 3 days for resort guests and day of for non-resort guests. I think that would make it more fair, just my opinion. I think that would make the inventory more fair as far as to what's there.
Yeah.
So,
I don't...
7 days does too much, in my opinion.
Yeah. I like being able to book in advance in a sense, but at the same time, what I liked about Genie Plus was it was same-day inventory for everybody, and so it felt like a more level playing field on the day of, and you could work around
that. I think
if
you want to give resort guests an advantage, though, 3 days is plenty. That's my thinking.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't mind that. It's definitely better than 60 or 30, because I think that was way too far, way too much.
Even though you could, if you knew what you were doing, you could get the more popular attractions same day with FastPass Plus.
Yeah.
If you were looking at that and you were not like on it 60 days, 30 days, whatever, you weren't getting some of the most popular attractions on that. If you were not there, it was almost the same. It was almost the exact same problem people get with virtual queue. The only difference is you're doing it 60 days.
Right. I remember when Toy Story Land opened Slinky Dog, I booked 60 days out, but because other people were booking, because their trips started before mine, this same day, you know, when I got to mine, it's 60 days out, 7 a.m. the only times available for Slinky Dog was 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That was all that was left. Because the people who were staying earlier, and the same issue happens, you know, with the 7-day out. It's like if someone's trip started 3 or 4 days before mine, but it includes the same day, they can go ahead and book and start taking up that inventory for the most popular stuff. I don't love that.
The thing about this is, this is what I don't get. Why do people like it so much? Okay, so only thing you're doing really, since everybody jumps on it first thing as soon as they possibly can, right?
And right.
There's a limited amount.
Yep.
You just know in 60 days whether or not you didn't get something versus same day. No, not knowing whether you got something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess.
And I guess you have another opportunity to get that thing somewhere along the line with people dropping it and what have you.
Yeah.
And if it turns out that there are drop times for this, who knows?
There are. We'll see how consistent they stay, but yeah.
Well, people claim to have found some, but if there's no consistency, then it's not really a drop time, right? So
we'll see, though.
I wonder if it would be a good idea with this system to do similar to what you did with FastPass Plus and even start the day with just one and then go from there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be ideal. But
yeah. As someone who has done challenges and likes to take full advantage, I wouldn't book, say, Slinky Dog 7 days out, and if 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. is all that's left, I don't want to be sitting on a tier one lightning lane for until 6 p.m. Like, no, I want something to
don't
be
leave
used.
It there.
Yeah, I don't want to just have to sit on that all day.
Right.
I would skip that and try to get a drop at some point for it.
The only way I would like to sit on something is if I'm doing the stacking thing. Right.
Right. Yeah. If that was
because I can fill in the gaps. If I'm stacking, I can fill in the gaps.
If I didn't want to show up in the morning at all, then I would try to do that. But again, holding three at a time, you know, with Genie Plus, you could have five or six stacked by the time the afternoon, you know, rolled around versus only being able to have three and only one tier one.
So the stacking still works in the sense, I'm trying to think, with this new system, you still have the every 2 hour rule, is it?
Do they? Because I didn't think you could hold more than three in your bank at a time.
Well, if Ryan said he could stack, then how do you stack without that capability? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. I just didn't think you could hold more than three. I think you can stack as you go throughout the day, maybe.
Maybe that's what he meant.
Yeah.
He said stacking. So, yeah, we'll have to clarify that. Okay, well, do we have something else to add for FastPass Plus? Or, excuse me, Lightning Lane?
Well, I would just quickly run through pros and cons. I was thinking of going all the way back to the paper fast passes.
Yeah.
Pros are, it's kind of, in a sense, a level playing field, which, again, I like that. It was free. That was the other thing that was great. Available for everybody. You just get in the park that day, you go get one, right? The disadvantages, obviously, over time, it was having a physical ticket. You could lose it, that kind of thing. Before the app showed up, you had to actually run to a location and get it so you had to zigzag the park potentially to get Lightning Lane or Fast
Pass. Oh, yeah, that was another thing that was available. I don't think they have really anymore other than the guest experience tents, but they had kiosks with Fast Pass Plus that you could also utilize.
Yeah, which wasn't the greatest. The kiosks were not as good as the app, but that's another.
Well, it depends. In some cases, because it was hardwired, I guess, sometimes the kiosks could be more reliable in some cases. So it depends on the situation.
Depending on your signal, I guess. But
yeah.
When you got to FastPass Plus, it was nice to be able to book ahead. At one point, you know, you could book three and then use one at a time after that. That was nice. You could, you know, during challenge runs, we were using 14, 15, 20 lightning lanes in a day.
I think there were people using upwards of almost like 30 in a day, right? In some cases.
Over 20 for sure. I mean, depending on, you know, how you did it throughout the day. But yeah, that was very helpful. But the cons still are, I think, the 30 and 60 day is too far in advance.
I think modifying the lightning lanes now, it does work similar to modifying the fast pass did, or no?
Yeah.
Is it similar?
I was going to say the other con, I think, for the FastPass Plus and the new system is the tier system to a degree is, I think you can modify, you know, a tier one to a tier one, but you can't do a tier two to a tier one and so on. So,
yeah. Of all the things from FastPass Plus that I did like, I didn't like the tiers.
Yeah.
So right. I did like the fact that they did away with them with Genie Plus, and why they went back to them is beyond me. I don't know if it had to do with control or what, but
yeah, I think
I don't understand that.
Right, trying to go back to more control on their part.
But I don't think the tiers is what people liked. You see what I'm saying? I don't think that was the part that people liked about FastPass Plus.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what Disney liked about it.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
Right. But I think the good thing about the tier system is it does allow you to have less people in the lightning lane line for the tier one attractions. It's not going to be as, because you won't be, there won't be as plentiful, I guess. So it'll be kind of, there'll be less people in line for those.
Yeah. I think this new system, this lightning lane system, which, let's be honest, they, like we said before, they only named it this because they don't have to change any signs.
But I'm used to saying lightning lane now, so.
Yeah, you're used to lightning lane now. So they've conditioned us.
Yeah. Right.
Just like when we went to Sesame Place and they had their skeptical line system, and of course we just naturally said at some point, called it Fast Pass, right?
Yeah.
Of course, their skip the line system was if you bought it, you could do it for everything, and you just got in that line. Well, you had a wristband or something that you wore.
Yeah. But not every attraction had that either, I don't think. Right? It was only certain ones. I don't think everything
had it. It was a lot. Would Disney ever go to something like that, like Universal does? Like theirs is, they just charge more, but yeah, you can just get in the line whenever you want type deal.
I wouldn't like that, honestly, because it would be so much more expensive.
Yeah, but you would also know that you're getting on everything, because that line is never has anything.
I mean, but you're talking like $500 or $600 a day versus $100, $150 or whatever a day.
Well, they don't have to go to that extreme. They could
it's Disney.
They don't have to go to that extreme.
It's Disney.
So I do think having something like this, at least it's more available to more people this way.
Yeah.
The cost is likely to only go up over time.
Right. I think that's the con for the new system for sure, is it costs. Yeah. Of course, that was the con for Genie Plus.
Yeah.
The price has only gone up, but it was a decent price to start with. It was $15 a day
per
person. And now
Let's be honest, never that at all. Yeah. Let's be honest. Paying for it is here to stay. It's not going to go away.
Right. But it's only going to go up, which sucks.
Yeah, it's not like whenever something starts getting charged for that it ever goes back, unless you count for parking, the parking thing they did.
Yeah, believe it or not, that actually did happen.
Went away. Yeah. Surprising. But it only went away because it was like throwing the guests a bone, pretty much, based on everything else that had taken place.
Yeah.
That didn't cost Disney much, hardly anything.
Yeah.
I have seen where they're going to start doing wristbands for, like, Caribbean Beach Pool. This is not a cost thing, but as far as control, I think they've had more issues. They're going to start doing wristbands at that main pool, which I have no problem with that because it probably needed to be done. I mean, if it's a more popular pool, then it does need to be resort exclusive because they paid the money to be there. So
you've got via the Skyliner people with other resorts.
Right, they're more accessible. More easily accessible than it once was. You're more likely to find somebody paying for pop and going to Caribbean's pool, right?
Yeah. So. Or Riviera's for that matter. I mean, trying to get in there too. So makes sense that they would put that in place.
Although I don't think they've done it at Art of Animation, which their pool would be better still than pop's.
Do they have a slide though at the Big Blue Pool? Because
they don't.
Well, you know, the values don't have slides. So I think that's the main draw that people would go to Caribbean or
to Caribbean Beach for Riviera.
Yeah.
I really think out of all those that are on the Skyliner, though, the Caribbean Beach pool area, I actually prefer compared to the other ones.
Yeah, but I like
the splash. I think the splash area is better on Caribbean.
I certainly love the Riviera pool better, but I like the area around the pool. There's lots of activities.
Probably quieter too, right?
Yeah, it's less active.
You're thinking of it as an adult.
Ball or right? It's true.
As far as being a good family pool, actually, I think the Caribbean's one of the better ones.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely is.
But anyway, I think we kind of get the gist of FastPass Plus history in there and talking about where how far we've come. I think we've kind of established, even with this new system, even though none of us have technically used it yet, I think we've established tiers are not something we really care for. And really, if they would bring back the ability to do a ride more than once, I don't think they have that again. No one's confirmed it yet. Do you know what I mean? Because like with FastPass Plus, you could get the same ride. If it was available, you could get it. It didn't matter, right? Yeah. You weren't blacked out.
Right.
And I kind of feel like, you know, I would like to see that part come back as well. Do you agree?
Oh, totally. I think, yeah. Because if there's a not
one and done
day, gosh, you could ride Space Mountain 5 times or something, or Big Thunder. That would be really fun.
And we know that Tiana's is going to a regular queue. We haven't really seen it yet, though, and they haven't announced when.
Yeah.
Right? They haven't announced a date.
I should check the reliability of it again. I think that might have something to do with it, because
while they're waiting.
Yeah. Because it had a terrible day, like, the day after we released that episode a few weeks ago where I was talking about how it improved so much, and then it had the worst day ever. But then it's come back some since then. So still all over the place, but better.
Okay, we'll have to revisit that. But what I was going to say is, like, right now, if you want to repeat that one, for instance, you have the option of virtual queue, lightning lane, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right. And once you utilize one, like, you could not do it more than twice in one day if you wanted to. That's the part I don't like about the things with the other attractions. That's the problem I have with Rise. I get having a skip the line option. Okay. What I don't get is not giving someone the ability to wait all freaking day if they wanted to. Okay. Somebody wants to wait all day, let them. You know what I mean? For a ride. Why should you be holding someone back from their choice to experience an attraction, or at least have the opportunity to experience an attraction?
Because they're not spending money when they're standing in line for 3 hours.
Well, if that's what they prefer to do, that's what it should.
That's what Disney prefers them to do. Disney wants them to have return time so that they will go spend money at Baseline Tap House.
Well, if they want them to spend money, why don't they make the queue lines? Why don't they put things in there they can spend money on while they're waiting?
Actually, they did do that for certain rides during... I remember buying...
More than just drinks.
Right, yeah.
Drinks is the most obvious thing, but I'm like, how about entertainment? Like a paid entertainment option.
Paid entertainment?
Yeah. So along the lines of, you have to pay to look through, I don't know, like binoculars in certain places. Do you know what I mean? Something along those lines.
What are you going to be looking at?
Yeah.
It's like...
Not that kind of entertainment. I just mean they could do things along the way that if they made it appealing enough, you'd pay for it. Like even if it's just like the game machines, like the, I don't know, the...
Maybe.
Olive Garden or something. You know what I mean? It's small amounts of money, but it could be overall, it's money in their pocket. Those type of things, right? Like you have a specialized game you could play while you're waiting in line there that you pay for.
Okay. Yeah. Like perhaps.
If they want people to spend money while they're waiting. Anyway. All right. We are on Facebook. We are on the artist formerly known as Twitter. We are on Instagram, and that is all at TWTM Podcast. We still have a Spreadshirt store where you can get TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. And we have a YouTube channel, which the link can be found where, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. There's links to a new shop there as well. Spreadshirt's still up, but we also have the Challenge Runner merch, but that's linked on our website. You could also email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com.
All right, so for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. before we trip up
via the lightning lane.
It's such a pretty boat.
Ship.